short word of exhortation to, I believe God will have me to share. You know, like right now we have entered the rainy season in Nigeria, in this part of the world. And I believe also that the church itself has entered this rainy season. Praise the Lord. The title of my message is Break Up Your Fallow Ground. Let's say together, Break Up Your Fallow Ground. Praise the Lord. Let's read our Bible's book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Break up your fallow ground. This is very, very important. We want to see the face of God. But you know, if you remember the Songs of Solomon, he said that the woman said, take the little foxes that spoil my vine. It is these foxes that hinder us from seeing God's face. Praise the Lord. So are we there? Let's read. Hosea 10, chapter 10, verse 12. It says, so to yourselves in what? Righteousness. They sow to yourselves in righteousness, reaping mercy. Break up. Let's get a break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes. Say till he comes. And do what? Rain righteousness upon you. The responsibility is on every Christian to break up his fallow ground. We have entered into a season in which God wants to rain righteousness. We have entered that season. We have said that we are in the rainy season of the church. And it is in the harvest time that this actually occurs. We'll talk about it later. So let's read it again. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reaping what? Mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till what? He come and does what? Rain righteousness upon you. Each time the Bible talks about the ground in the Bible, it's talking about our hearts. Say hearts. You see, we all know the story of the sower that sowed the word. He said that he was talking about different kinds of ground. He said some fell by the wayside, some on stony ground, some among thorns, and then finally spoke about the good and honest heart. So we're talking about breaking up a fallow ground. Even though Hosea here was using an agricultural term to explain some things, spiritual truths to the Israelites, but it was actually referring to the ground of their heart. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 8 verse 15, just to put the scripture behind this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Let's say, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a what? Good heart, having heard the word, keep it, say, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You see, the onus is upon us to diligently watch over our hearts. Why? You see, that scripture says that we should sow to ourselves in righteousness, that we may reap in mercy. Now God says, break up your fallow ground. Why? Because it is time to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness upon us. Or it is time for us to see God's face and carry that glory we've been singing about. So it's very, very important for us to do that. Now, why fallow ground? Why are we breaking up? You see, in the natural, in agriculture, when they leave the ground to fallow for some time, so that the ground can recover. You know, God will tell them that, look, after 70 years, you come back. You know, so the ground will regain, you know, its ability to produce. But see, in Christianity, we are not supposed to allow the ground of our hearts to be fallow. You know why? Because if you allow it to be fallow, the enemy does not go to bed. He will take that time to sow seeds. I follow me, and you find out what brought the scripture to my heart. You know, this message, part of it was that I think it was on Wednesday, when we were sharing with us 3 hours after, she was talking about the fly catcher. I will get there as I continue. I explain what that means. You see, I discovered that, you see, my Christianity, I must be very honest with you. You know, at times I go one step forward, I go two steps backwards, then one step today, maybe three steps. God wants us to stop. Why? Because, you see, there are things in the ground of the heart that we must break up. So when we're going to sow in righteousness, we can reap in mercy. Praise the Lord. So let me put some definitions behind you. Our fallow ground. I said our fallow ground speaks of the uncultivated parts of our hearts that has been left for a period of time due to spiritual slothfulness or a lack of diligence in watching and praying always. That's how we get to this condition. The master said, watch and pray sometimes. Said always. Why? Because he knows that each time we don't practice that as a habit, there is a tendency for the enemy to sow seeds or thorns in our hearts. I'll read again. I said our fallow ground speaks of the uncultivated parts of our hearts that has been left for a period of time due to spiritual slothfulness or a lack of diligence in watching and praying always. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Let's put it there. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Talking about the lazy servant. He said, I went by the field of slothful. I went by the field of slothful and by the vineyard of the mind, void of what? Understanding. Does not understand that Satan does not go to bed. Next verse. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Stone in the Bible speaks about revelation. And just like I said, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But because this guy was sleeping, Pastor says, let's keep reading. I said, and the stone wall was there. Next verse. Then I saw, and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received what? Instruction. Next verse. Yet a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to sleep. Next verse. So, shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Our poverty will not come in Jesus' name. Are you following me? But say yet a little sleep. Yet a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to what? To sleep. Let me just doze a bit. You set your alarm to 4:45. It's time for good morning, Jesus. Let me just sleep a bit. At least I will meet Sister Yemisi when she's making the prayer request for personal prayer requests. Maybe God is still talking to someone else today. Praise the Lord. You see, I'm here to tell you that, you see, let me just mention something, not part of my notes. I was just thinking about it. You see, like Mommy shared the other night, Good Morning Jesus is going to be 1 year next month, right? July. You see, this is what I thought that came to me. You see, it's like the time of Esther. He has 6 months of what? Myrrh. And then 6 months of what? Sweet odors. After that, what happened? They presented her to the king. That is the next thing on our agenda by the grace of God. I follow him. The next thing that we've got, by the time we cross over, after the end of the second 6 months, we move what? Into being presented to the king in intimacy. Like we've been singing that we're going to see his face, his glory. So you see, we need to take that thing seriously. If you've been sleeping, ask God for forgiveness. Now the sleep again we're talking about is not physical sleep again. It may be part of it, but sleeping spiritually when you are unaware of what is going on. That will not be a portion. We'll be aware and just sleep. Say yet a little sleep. A little slumber. So you see, like I said the other time, in Isaiah 28, he says that lines shall be upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. And with stammering lips and another tongue, will you speak unto this people? Yet they will not hear. So the antidote for sleep is praying frequently. Here a little, there a little. When you go to the bathroom, you pray a little. When you go to this place, you pray a little. Like Pastor has taught us. Praise the Lord. Because it is the little foxes, those little times that will sleep and slumber spiritually, that spoil the vine. Praise the Lord. So I put it, I say, we are to keep our hearts all with all what? Diligence. So we must watch over our hearts with all diligence, not some diligence. That is, you are watching your heart daily. More than you will watch every other thing you do. And that's why that aspect of a fly catcher comes in. I'm going to share with us. You see, everybody, I believe we all know what a fly catcher is. That's something that used to kill insects. You see, it must be on all the time. Because when the flies are coming, they're not going to tell you when they're going to arrive. But it must constantly be powered. The light must be on. Current flowing constantly. So when the fly mistakenly lands on it, what will happen? Catch them. Everybody say, catch them. Catch them. I think we always remember that. So when thoughts come to your mind, thoughts that are alien to scripture, whatever the thought is, you know why? Because the Bible calls Satan Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. When he comes, he doesn't only come, he comes and he lays his eggs, which over time, if you don't deal with, will hatch. So immediately, appears, you must do what? Catch them. Always remember to catch it. Immediately arrives. Praise the Lord. That is the exercise we have to keep on doing. Praise the Lord. Now let's open the scripture to Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. I already mentioned it. I said Matthew 13:25. Bible says, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. So while men slept, it is not the physical sleeping alone. It is the when we begin to sleep spiritually. That's when Satan comes, when you are idle. And that begins to drop those thoughts in your heart. When you're not watching and praying always. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. What is it? And this which was sown among thorns. No. 13, yes, but others fell into. Lord have mercy. 13:25. You also put the scripture. 13:25, not 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See? But while men slept, his enemy came and did what? Sowed tears among the wheat and went his way. What you was it there? Laid the eggs, just went away. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So I discovered that why does this happen? Why is it happening in the body of Christ? It's because of one reason. The bridegroom has tarried. You see, from the very beginning, when people get born again, the message we hear is that, get ready, the bridegroom is coming. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. But you see, as we keep going on this journey, like Pastor said, we've been expecting him to come and he has not come. Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. That's where the problem is. So what happens that after a period of time, when the bridegroom seems to tarry, then people go to sleep. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Please just follow the scriptures I quote. Thank you. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto what? 10 virgins, speaking about the old church, which took their lamps and did what? Went forth to meet the bridegroom. That is the message. Even when you get born again, the bridegroom is coming. Some people are expecting the rapture, but it doesn't matter. But after a period of time, go to verse 5. But say, why the bridegroom tarried? Say, why the bridegroom tarried? They all say, oh, slumbered and slept. Why? Because the bridegroom has tarried. So the degree of diligence begins to drop. Distractions begin to come in. If I stay with this thing, maybe I should quickly go and try a boy, 5 yoke of oxen. So the diligence drops. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But the Bible says in verses, at midnight, what happened? A cry went out. And says what? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The same instruction that was given in verse 1. It didn't change. But you discover that, like Pastor said, to every 10, all the 10 virgins, you have one watchman that wake up the virgins. So say, wake up! The bridegroom is what? Is coming. Now you see, when we wake up, what we are supposed to do is to begin to break up our fallow ground. Not that we'll just get up and rush to go and meet the bridegroom. No, you must break up your fallow ground. Why? Because it's coming for a bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. That is what it's coming for. Lest you enter into the marriage supper, and then it comes and it says, ah, gentleman, how did you enter? Under covering, sir. Ah, okay, brother, that covering cannot hold you again. Go out. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. There is a season for covering. There is covering in the house. That's why I said what I said. See, I laid a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You come here, you hear the word, in spite of your carnality. That word, you're supposed to feed on it. So I could overcome the carnal mind. Praise the Lord. So this results in two things, I put it there. Say, hardness of heart, and a growth of thorns in the heart, when we fall asleep. And the second thing is that the understanding becomes darkened. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It leads to hardness of heart. And a growth of thorns. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Lord have mercy. What does he say? He says that we should talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Say, but exhort one another when? Exhort one another daily. Not weekly. Weekly cannot carry what is coming against us. Daily. Daily. Why it is called? Today. Let none of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So as you hear the exhortation, you wake up in the morning. You go, good morning, Jesus. I hear them pray and make those confessions. And then you say, what you've forgotten, you remind you again. Well, you must exhort one another daily. You come to church for prayer meeting, exhortation daily. Why is it called today? Why? Because your sin is very, very deceitful. How come money? That means you just get used to it. It becomes a habit. It becomes a familiar, which must be dealt with. Praise the Lord. As I said, understanding becomes darkened. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians 4, verse 18. These are the things that happen when we sleep spiritually. That is the time that the enemy sows thorns in our hearts. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That word blindness is hardness. Is there any time you leave a piece of ground to fallow and it does not rain upon it, the ground gets hard. And the problem is this, there are always storms in the heart because of the residual sin nature. So when the rain comes, haven't you noticed when it started raining recently? Haven't you noticed if you go out and anywhere, you see weeds just because who planted them? They didn't plant them. They've been in the ground waiting for the rain. That's why we must break up our fallow ground. Why it is time to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness upon us. So I put it, I said, to break up our fallow ground is to break up the hardened habits, familiars of a sin nature, known as thorns. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible of Yeshua. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Mark 4, 18. Please. Talking about, Master was expressing, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as what? Hear the word, next verse. And the cares, say the cares of this world. Now began to describe the thorns. The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering indeed what? Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. That means they started growing. But because the owner of his heart, Ivan, did not take care of these thorns in the heart, the cares of this world. No matter what I will eat, what will happen to me, which are okay, I follow him, but he just didn't deal with them. Okay, in the sense that, you know, God will meet our needs. I follow me. And I decided this food, deceitfulness of riches, ease comes in. Rather than to talk about David. If you notice, it was after David built the temple and God filled it with glory, and then he took it easy when kings ought to go to battle. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. He was deceived. He said, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Not that the word is not there. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, you are confessing. But because this is not being dealt with, it chokes the word. Are you following me? It strangles it, and it becometh unfruitful. It will not be unfruitful in Jesus' name. So what are we talking about? These thorns we're talking about, they are already in the ground of your heart. Once you have a sin nature in your heart, you have to constantly break up your fallow ground. As you break it up, you put on your fly catcher. It is for us to remember that all the time. So every time you don't hear, bah! If you notice that thing, bah! Bah! If the frequency drops, go and check whether the light is on. Because since you can put the fly catcher there, and if there is no power flowing to it, you think it is working, it's not working. Flies just be landing and just dropping whatever they want to drop. That's not a portion of Jesus' name. So what are we saying? Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21 talks about it. They are called the lusts of the flesh. Paul was talking, he said, the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. That you cannot do what you want to do. I follow him. He says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Next verse. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Next verse. 19. Now begins to list the work of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Next verse. Next verse. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, those that practice such things, or those that make it a habit and don't deal with the thorns. See, they are there, but we're not saying when you don't deal with them, when you don't make the effort to do something about it, it becomes a problem. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very, very important? I have about three reasons here. The first reason is, I've already mentioned in the past, but just to put a point behind, a scripture behind. He said, if we do not break up our fallow ground, we'll be sowing among thorns, which will choke the word. We already mentioned it. If we don't break that fallow ground, as we'll see later how we break the fallow ground, you'll be sowing among thorns. This is when the farmers want to farm, they first of all go there and they break up the ground. They begin to weed the ground. I have to prepare the ground for the seed of the word. So you're not just confessing, just in my half life, I have love, joy, peace, long suffering. At the end of the day, maybe love you walk in is just like 10%. Why? Because there is pride there that is going to fight against humility. Innate pride. It's going to fight. You will not even know that they are there. So what I was saying, I said, it is important for us to break up our fallow ground so we don't sow among tears. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. Jeremiah 4, verse 3. Jeremiah was talking to them because they had entered the season of a harvest. Saying, for thus said the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and what? Sow not among thorns. So we must not deny the fact that those thorns are there. But the issue is this, we must not sow among thorns as we break up our fallow ground. Verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let me leave the latter part. It says, circumcise your heart. You know, Pastor talked about the second circumcision some years ago by Joshua. When they're going to enter the promised land, when they stayed in Gilgal, God told Joshua, said, make these sharp knives. And then go and circumcise the circumcision of Israel the second time. That is the circumcision of your heart, your soul. To remove the foreskin. And from, so that when you get to the promised land, you will not misbehave. But see, the responsibility was given to Joshua. Say, circumcise the Israelites. So how do they do that? It's not a physical circumcision. It's what that comes. It's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts the heart. It separates the wheat from the chaff. But you see, you must present yourself to be circumcised. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the other scripture I have, the second point is this. As I already mentioned, I said, we are in the season of the harvest. And in the season of the harvest, it is time to seek the Lord, like we read in that scripture. As a scripture on Proverbs that just flashes through my mind, he said that a son that sleeps in time of harvest bringeth shame. You see, if you read the parable of the wheat and the tears, he said, leave them to the harvest time. He said, don't. You see, but you don't want to wait till the harvest time before you start doing your weeding. Are you following me? In that parable, he said, leave. You see, he said, but don't wait till the time of the harvest before you start doing your weeding. Because at the end of the day, you are going to spend unnecessary time removing the tears instead of gathering the harvest of fruits. Praise the Lord. So what I was saying, it's in that time, we're in that time of what? Of the harvest. It's time to seek the Lord until he rains righteousness upon us. James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Talked about the husbandman. You know, agricultural time again. Of course, again, that refers to the God the Father. So be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Being patient there is not just wait in idleness. It means be consistent in breaking up your fallow ground. I follow him. Behold, the husbandman what waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the what? The latter rain. In Israel, they had the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain is sowing rain when they sow the seed. And the latter rain that we are talking about is to harvest the precious fruit of the earth. Praise the Lord. So what is the harvest we are talking about? Like Pastor I was sharing earlier on, is the harvest of the fruit of love. See, the harvest in this end time is twofold. The first one in the body is to gather in the fruit. That is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is love. There must be, first of all, that ingathering within the house. Before we now go to gather the nations together, the harvest of the nations. Praise the Lord. So, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. That's why the Bible says, you must seek the Lord. You must seek the Lord with all your heart. I will seek him diligently. What? You will find him. Is this a time to bring your heart before the Lord? Seek him with all your will, all your emotions, all your mind in everything. Don't allow any place to be idle. Are you following me? Like that scripture says, they said that this house, that part they cast out, they said they went away. and looked for dry places. He didn't find any. Came back again. I brought seven more wicked spirits. That will not be a portion of Jesus. You cannot allow any part of your heart to be. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse. Listen. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with some of your heart. All your hearts. All the heart is very important. As I said, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life. So everything about the heart must be all. All. Very, very important. Thank you, man. So that is very, very important. So let me just explain a few things here before we move on. Talking about the rain. Thank God it's raining again. God is confirming his word. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But on a more serious note, we have entered the rainy season of a church. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So we must know what to expect. When the Bible speaks about doctrine or teaching, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. Say, my doctrines shall what? Drop as the rain. And we have the former rain and the latter rain. I just read because of time. The former rain is the earnest of the power of the Holy Spirit, given in response to the teaching and the practice of the word of God concerning the foundational principles of faith. We already have that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The foundational, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let's just read that scripture. That is the former rain, which we have been enjoying thus far. Therefore, living the principle of doctrine of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Next verse is that of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Next verse. Say, and this we will do if God permits. You see, for many of us, God cannot permit. Listen to me before you get afraid. Why? Because we have not grown to that stage of maturity. But the only reason why we will permit us to partake of the latter rain is being under the right covering. Let me explain using another agricultural term. There's what we call greenhouses, where you find someone inside of that greenhouse. They plant seedlings, you know, in small bags like this. You see, when they plant them under that greenhouse, the person that's in charge of the greenhouse is the one that looks at that time, he helps them to weed. He brings sufficient water and he keeps them there. Are you following me? From the elements of the air. Not until that thing has grown and grown to a certain level that the husbandman or the person in charge will now take that plant and transplant it. So that is why it is important to stay under covering of the greenhouse. You can't uproot yourself and say, I've sprouted, leaves have come out now, you've just sprouted wings. You know, there's an enemy out there. So that is the principle of the greenhouse. He watches over everything. He knows the temperature. Why does God do that? Or why do we do that naturally? So he can protect the plants from being scorched by the sun. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to have our back of mind. Now, the latter rain, the latter rain is the release of the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. In response to the teaching, say teaching, and the practice of righteousness, right doing, concerning the perfection of the church. You see, when God released the former rain, it was in response to the teaching, are you following me, and the practice of the principles of the foundation of the Christian faith. Now, it's about to release again. The second time, this is what we call Joel's second outpouring. You are why, in response to the teaching of perfection, it releases a measure of power to accompany and to confirm it. Somebody said something recently. If the master, he took him to all the miracles that he did, he could not do with the earnest. He did with the spirit of that measure. How do we think that we can do the same works with the earnest? Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? He took the full measure of the Holy Spirit to do what he did. And he says, the works that I do, you will do. And what? Greater works. So that is what we are expecting now. Joel chapter 2 verse 23. Joel chapter 2 verse 23. Joel 2:23. Joel 2:23. Lord have mercy. Let's read together. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and what? Rejoice in the Lord, for your Lord, in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. It's limited in what it can do. It cannot raise the dead after 4 days. It can't walk on water. It's limited. But it will cause to come down for you what? the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the what? First month. The first month there in the Jewish calendar is the seventh month. He's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. See, God is now going to give us the former rain and the latter rain in the what? First month. He's talking about the deluge. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? The third point I have here is this, as we begin to round up, it's not a long message. The reign of righteousness and the practice of righteousness is what will trigger the release of a spirit without measure. See, something has to trigger it. It can't just happen. Something must trigger it. That is why I said it is time to break up our fallow ground. Because it is time to seek the Lord until he rains what? Righteousness upon you. Psalm 15 verse 2 says that, talks about he that walketh righteousness. We're not talking about right standing here, even though it is part of it. It is your right standing through the blood of Jesus that gives you access to the life of God. And I receive that life in sufficient measure to practice right doing. Say, he that lets you, he that walketh upright. Talking about who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord. Talking about Mount Zion. Says, he that what? Walketh uprightly. You are upright, like he told Abraham. Walk before me upright. Be upright. Enough is enough. I've been counting the years. Abraham, you don't have much time again. What if you are delayed? Thank God he did not delay. Say, walk upright before me. Immediately, he's going to walk. Say, who does that walk uprightly? And walk at righteousness. Say, walk at righteousness. That says, you have to walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I follow him. And speak at the truth in his heart all the time. You must be honest to the core, like you say. Very honest. Praise the Lord. Okay, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It is this reign of righteousness that will trigger the outpouring of the Spirit of God they were waiting for. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Let's read. No, we already read Joel chapter 2, verse 3, talking about God will cause to come down the rain, the latter rain and the former rain, first month. Now, in that same chapter, it says, and it shall come to pass, after I receive the earlier and latter rain, that I will do what? Pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Next verse. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. I repeat again before I read the next scripture. It is the outworking of righteousness in our conduct, which is the same as perfecting the love of God. Using that flycatcher to deal with the sin nature in the soul and the body that will trigger the release of a spirit without measure. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what triggered it. All those years from the age of 12 to 30, it was walking righteousness. So, and thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation. Okay, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, had anointed with what? The oil of gladness above thy fellows. So it is the practice of right doing in our conduct that is going to trigger. So God is ready. He already has a company of people. Let me say the fathers, those that have gone ahead. It's because we are limited in what we can do because of the level of our spiritual growth, even though we are practicing. But see, when you find a company of people, like the four priests that carry the ark, and they step into Jordan, are you following me? And continue to practice righteousness, even when it will cost them their life. Yes. Bible says they love not their lives unto death. That is the level we are going to. Then they will trigger the anointing. The spirit without measure. See, that is love righteousness and has hated iniquity. Even God thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. It is for this reason that the Bible says in this time of the harvest, which you ask the Lord for rain in the time of the harvest. I will make bright clouds and give rain upon everyone grass in the field. Let's go there. Say, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So not in time of the former rain. So the Lord shall make what? Bright clouds. And give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Make sure you are in the field. So when we ask for a cloud in the Bible talks about apostolic and prophetic ministries. But talk about a cloud of witnesses. So Bible says it is this season that we ask for rain. Now, how do we break up our fallow ground? My first point is, it says, sow unto yourselves in righteousness, and then you reap in mercy. How do we sow in righteousness? We sow in righteousness by a diligent exercise of our hearts in honesty and humility through the confession of our sins. That's how you sow. It's very simple. That's how you sow. The practice of honesty of heart. That thing hits your mind. I take that thought captive in Jesus' name. You don't gloss over it. And I dare say, if you know how to drive, there are what we call blind spots in driving. Some you will not see until somebody comes and tells you. Don't be offended when you are told. Yes, sir. Don't be offended when you are told. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Let's put the scripture behind it. 1 John chapter 1 says, it says that if you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if I stand there today and say I have no sin, sin in terms of nature, I'm deceiving myself because I'm not entering perfection. Next verse. But if we confess our sins, God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. That is how you sow in righteousness. Honesty of heart reveals it to you. Accept it by submitting. That's him to Father. Now confess your sins. It says, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all the righteous. That's how you sow to yourselves in righteousness. When you exercise honesty of heart, what does honesty of heart do? It gives you access to the mercy of God in sufficient measure. That is very important. And then the second thing we have to do is we have to fall on the rock of revelation knowledge of apostolic and prophetic teaching as you practice it. Matthew chapter 21 verse 44. Matthew 21 verse 44. Where the master was talking, he said that whoever falls on this rock shall be broken. So when those teachings come, the word comes and it does not seem palatable, you fall upon it. It says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be what? Broken. Let's see the rest. Whosoever does not fall on it will be granted Father. Will not be granted to Father in Jesus' name. So as we actively practice apostolic and prophetic teaching, all these things we taught. A third point that happens is the measure of mercy and grace that we receive in sufficient measure is what enables us to now pray with travail to break up our fallow ground and to be diligent now watching and praying always, at least 4 times daily. You see, it's not only enough to make confessions, to ask for forgiveness. There are some things that are in it, some things that are deep-rooted in the heart. And it's going to take travailing prayer to break it up till you can get to the root and then expunge that thing. So, the wheat and tears, they always look together. They look alike until harvest time. So, it's going to take travailing prayer to break up that fallow ground. Praise the Lord. So, let's put the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, the pastor taught us. He said, you shall speak this word, you know, when you wake up in the morning, in the way, when you get back at home, and then when you lie down, at least 4 times a day. That is how to go back to that illustration. That's how you use a fly catcher. At least 4 times a day. At every opportunity and in every temptation. So instead of allowing your soul to be idle, you practice those things. And then the fourth point I have, which is last point, is this: the practice of fasting and leading a fasting life. Psalm 69 verse 10. You starve that infirmity. It was Papa Egan that said something. He said that whatever feeds your flesh starves your spirit. Whatever starves your spirit feeds your flesh. So you starve that thing. You know, when you say fasting again, not only when you fast, you abstain from eating food, you fast certain things. There's some things I practice nowadays, and sometimes I don't look at my WhatsApp. No, I just switch it off. I just remove it. Why? Because it's going to distract me. Then at the end of the day, I'll still check to see information that is very important. So you fast certain things up. You abstain from them. Fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Isaiah 58 verse 6. Last scripture. Okay, let's read one. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. So you chasten your soul. Next, Isaiah 58 verse 6 as we close. What Isaiah was talking, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. So how are we going to do these things? With those things I've said, you fall upon the rock of revelation knowledge, you break up your fallow ground, you know, you exercise honesty and confess your sins, and then finally when you begin to fast, you break Bible says that that wicked and slothful servant, slothness is wickedness, as I can see there. So you break that yoke of spiritual wickedness and slothfulness and continue to do that until it comes and it rains righteousness upon us. Praise the Lord. Let's bow as we talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet as we respond to the Lord. It is time to break up our fallow ground. Songs of Solomon says, take the little foxes that spoil the vine. The Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Recall us in our rightful mind, in pure life thy service find. In deeper reverence praise, in deeper reverence praise.
Drop that still dews of quietness.
Drop that still dews of quietness till all our striving cease.
Break through the heat of our desire.
Break through the heat of our desire. Thy coolness and thy power.
Let's respond to the Lord as been taught. Let's put one hand on our hearts and raise the other hand unto heaven. And let's pray. Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to break up the fallow ground of my heart. I come to receive fresh mercy and fresh grace to enable me to sow to myself in righteousness as I diligently exercise honesty and humility of heart, confessing my sins frequently to cleanse with the blood from all unrighteousness, and also to practice as a daily habit praying with all kinds of prayer and a diligent walk in the Spirit until you rain righteousness upon me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's not pray to spirit. Reprada masala bakutoro musintara masala bakutoro stopre. Toro musara bakutoro musheketa bo. Rabasa raba rabasanta ramana bakutoro bakutoro. Rabasanta ramu. Toro musala bakutoro musheketa bo fre. Toro sala bakofre sala bakutoro musheketa bo. Toro sala bakutoro musintara bakofre. Toro sala bakofre. Toro musintara bo. Kuro musala bakutoro fre. Rabasanta bakofre. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Under the authority of our fathers and the covering of our fathers and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord God lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes it head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and He shows us His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you, you break up your fallow ground, and the Lord rains righteousness on you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Have a